This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I could say something, but I won't.
Smart. Theater of the mind. Just let him enjoy the commentary.
Sure. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We spent a lot of time today on the NBA and the playoffs beginning and the play-in tournament first coming up this week. But we shift to the NFL because we are, roughly 10 days away from the NFL draft. I'm excited to get to Detroit. Perhaps you and I will take a little trip to one of our local casinos for a late-night sojourn. I could see that. Not even having to go over to Windsor. There's a couple downtown.
They have actual casino gambling there?
Last time I was in Detroit, they had it right downtown in the Greektown area.
Like blackjack tables and all that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
I was there one time when my partner on Rutgers, Ray Lucas, nearly, I don't know how I want to put this, beat the daylights out of a drunk UM student who was playing third base and really screwing up the entire table. Not good.
That really took an abrupt turn.
Yes,
went from a potentially fun night out to a PSA for why not to gamble.
Let's put it this way. Ray's not the guy you want to tick off at the table. But
all
at any rate, I'm looking forward to you and I spending a little more quality time together in person.
3 hours a day is enough. We got the Zoom up. It's enough.
The Zoom really fills your quotient.
It's good enough, yeah. I would say so. It's good enough with everything. It's like Wilner. The second the show ends, he comes running in. Hey, I got three things for you. Nope, I'm leaving. It's enough. We've all spent enough time together today.
Joe, we got some drama earlier today, and I loosely call it drama, surrounding the Cowboys, because we heard the news that the Eagles had given DeVonta Smith a three-year extension on top of his fifth-year option. So they have him locked up for 4 years through 2028. Good young receiver. Eagles being proactive, getting out in front of the receiver market right now, which is about to explode. Then we have the Cowboys, who with their wide receiver C.D. Lamb, he doesn't show up to come to offseason workouts because he doesn't have his contract in place. And that was highly predictable because there's been no indication that the Cowboys are going to get a deal done with him anytime soon. But guess what? We're not done with the Cowboys. Because in addition to C.D. Lamb not being there, Micah Parsons did not show either for the offseason program. Did not participate last year either, but he is getting closer and closer to a contract situation. And the Cowboys have not been proactive on that either. So we'll be talking about the Cowboys like Jerry loves. We're just not going to be talking about them in terribly favorable terms as they continue to pursue a strategy that would appear to be a losing one.
To be fair, these workouts are voluntary, are they not?
They are.
All right. So, yeah, they're not showing up, but, you know, how many guys are actually showing up to voluntary workouts? Guys that are trying to make the roster, yes. Guys that might be going into a contract year that aren't super, you know, haven't already proven themselves like Lamb and Micah Parsons have. So I don't think there's any reason necessarily for panic here. It's the ultimate out.
It's not a panic, but it's most teams have most of their players show up.
Do they?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I didn't realize that. I assume voluntary workouts, you're going to have a bunch of stars across the league, a few per team that are like, nah, I don't need to go to this. It's voluntary. It's just a workout. So I didn't think it's that big of a deal. You know, having both of them holding out, This is what you do. Like, you know, you can take care of your people or you can choose to get into a standoff with them. There are a variety of tactics you can use from a negotiating standpoint. The Cowboys are going toe-to-toe with Dak. They're going toe-to-toe with CeeDee Lamb. They're going toe-to-toe with Micah Parsons. Some would say those might be their three most important players. But at least they're consistent, you know? They're very consistent with what they're doing right now. So they've got a plan. Whether we agree with it or not, it's their plan. We would just suggest the idea that the way they've done business for quite some time has not led to playoff success. They do not have success when it matters most. Maybe some people would think about examining their process, changing their process a little bit to put themselves in a better position. Because if you keep getting the same result, you might want to try a different way to go about it. But they seem hell-bent on their ways. So I think we pretty much can already get a sense of what the outcome is going to look like come next January.
Mm-hmm. I think we already know.
Do you think these guys hold off into the season? That's where it gets interesting. Like, are you not going to report to training camp if you're CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons? I mean, if Brandon Ayuk gets traded and gets paid, that's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
If something ends up happening there and CeeDee Lamb's not getting the bag yet.
And to that point, Ayuk's agent did say this weekend he has not asked for a trade.
Smart.
So they still seem to be hopeful that something's going to happen there.
Smart.
Now, we have been giving you a little draft nuggets as we get ready for the draft. Of course, Joe is going to be out there with ESPN Bet and doing a ton of stuff with ESPN Radio as well. I'll be out there with Canty and with Ian Fitzsimmons and Mike Tannenbaum hosting the draft for ESPN Radio. So, you know, Joe, you know me, hardest working man you'll ever know.
Oh, yeah.
Digging up every possible nugget that I can so that I appear to be informed on things.
You're the old guy on the beach with the metal detector at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Socks and sandals.
Yep.
Let's rock. And sometimes you come up with a couple of little nuggets, and I got one for you here. The New York Jets. Joe, what's really interesting here about the Jets sitting at 10 is that we have seen the majority of these mock drafts having them take Brock Bowers as another weapon for Aaron Rodgers to work with.
Tight end out of Georgia.
Correct. What is the thought process here? Well, the thought process is Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are clearly on the hot seat. We need to add as many guys that can make an impact right away as we can. That's sometimes what I'll stop short of using the word desperate, but certainly GMs who feel like they need to make something happen in shorter order would do, and Brock Bowers looks like he would fit that bill. But Joe, in talking to a lot of people around the league, they are of the opinion, I would say four or five different people, that the Jets are not taking the tackle situation seriously enough if they opt to choose Brock Bowers, because the tackle situation will have a much bigger impact on your season than Brock Bowers will.
Did they not address the tackle situation in free agency?
They did. You brought in two tackles in Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith, who are north of 30, who have injury histories. If you are going to bring in a young, highly drafted tackle, that is an invaluable insurance policy as to what can happen, because those two guys are at the age with the history where you have to assume somebody's getting hurt at some point. You're losing somebody at some point. Which is it more important to have there when you have Aaron Rodgers coming off a torn Achilles and hasn't played in 2 years? Somebody that can protect him and can slide in and do the job? Because at the high end of the draft with the tackles, they are of that ability to step in and do that. Or a guy who can go catch some passes when you already have Mike Williams and you have Garrett Wilson, you have some other weapons here to work with in Breece Hall. What's more important to you?
Very interesting. If you're thinking big picture, long term, the offensive tackle seems to be the play. The
right.
problem is that I don't think the Jets are thinking big picture, long term.
But
the
I'm
Jets
asking you
Jets are thinking
this.
About 2024, and the way they have constructed this roster, they have literally shoved their chips to the center of the pot here. They're going for it. And I find it hard to believe that you're going to use that opening pick on a guy who will not be starting for you this season.
At least at the very beginning, if everybody stays healthy. But let me ask you this. Who would have the bigger impact positively for the Jets? A high-level starting tackle, or a high-level young tackle, considering what that situation is, or a tight end, who, yes, is capable of making big plays for you, but there's still the learning curve for him, too.
I would say the tight end.
Okay.
You need a guy who's going to contribute. Like, you're going for it. There's a chance you use a top. What is the pick they have? Is it 10?
10.
10. They use the 10th pick on a guy who doesn't end up playing.
At least.
That seems like a
he
miss.
He doesn't end up playing in the best of circumstances.
Sure, but there's a chance he ends up not playing for you. In a year where you need all hands on deck because you're going for the Super Bowl this year. Big picture, 3, 5, 10 years, offensive line, agree. This year specifically, with the way they're constructed and the length of time they have with Rodgers, I think you need immediate impact guys. Immediate impact guys.
And with the way they're constructed, based on the injury history of two tackles, I need to make sure my season cannot go down the tubes with one big injury.
Let's also make sure we address the fact that one of those pass catchers you mentioned is also always hurt in Mike Williams.
That's fair. That's fair. I just think it's an intriguing argument that is happening right now in league circles.
I don't think they make a mistake. If they go O-line or Bowers, I don't think you come out and go, man, the Jets really screwed this up. Mm-hmm. I think if it's one of those two options, you sit there and you say, yeah, there's a really good case for this. Maybe time will show that one choice was better than the other, but I don't think you walk away with either a tackle or Bowers and someone's out there saying, man, they really, really made a huge mistake. I don't think that happens.
By the way, perhaps the biggest development, Aaron Rodgers, 7 months removed from Achilles surgery, showed up on the first day of voluntary workouts. And Joe, on social media, they had the slow-mo walk into the building, locked down.
It's our year, man. It is our year. You don't need to get on the train, and I understand you don't want to be on it, and Canty doesn't want to be on it, and a lot of other guys here don't want to be on it. There are plenty of reasons for that. You will regret that by the end of the season. This is the year to be on the Jet train.
One basketball team is very close to going from the bottom of the standings to the very top. That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
A lot of excitement around it tonight, no doubt, after what we've seen all season long in women's college basketball. Rebecca Lobo, ESPN basketball analyst, joins us right now. Rebecca, it's Chris Carlin, along with Joe Fortenbaugh. She will be on site with Ryan Rucco, Andrea Carter, Holly Rowe. Caitlin Clark, of course, expected to be the number one overall pick to the Indiana Fever. I want to tie up a little loose end for you at first, though. We have to go back. Have you received more social media hits from folks in the great city of Albany, New York? Have you rectified that situation?
There was nothing to rectify. I made a little joke during a game, and the smartest thing I did was during the NCAA tournament, I stayed off of Twitter and stayed away from my mentions. So I have heard that there are people in Albany who are upset with me, but I haven't been taking the bullets directly.
I love it. Unapologetically, Rebecca, I owe you nothing. That's fantastic.
Well, no, this is the thing. Like, I have actually spent quite a bit of time in the Albany area because there's a bunch of AAU tournaments during the spring and the summer that my kids have participated in over the years. I've had a wonderful time in that area. And then I made a little joke during the game, and people didn't like it, but you know, it was all in good fun. There was certainly no shade intended to the great city of Albany, New York.
I'm sorry, there's no fun in sports. It has to be hard, aggressive takes. People have to take sides. They have to be upset and angry, and they have to fight to the death, Rebecca.
That is true. That is true.
All right, so let's get into it tonight. Caitlin Clark, as we know, is going to be the number one overall pick to the Indiana Fever. So when you have a player like this, we've heard some people talk over the last few weeks, Diana Taurasi among them, you know, she's going to have her welcome to the league moments. Does she walk in with kind of a target on her back from other players around the league trying to, you know, give her their welcome to the league moment?
You know, I think you see that every single year with whoever is the number one pick or whoever the player is coming out of college who is getting the most attention. You know, the veterans kind of want to show them that the WNBA has been a veterans league. You know, the teams that win championships are the ones with the seasoned, experienced veterans. And I'm sure that's going to be no different with Caitlin. You know, I think the veterans also appreciate what she's bringing to the league in terms of the attention that we're going to get every time an Indiana Fever game is on television or anytime Indiana plays at home or in particular on the road and the fans that are going to fill the building. So, yeah, certainly the veterans want to show that, you know, there's a difference between being a veteran and a rookie in the WNBA. But at the same time, I think they're smart enough to appreciate what she is doing in terms of bringing attention to the league.
Second year in a row, the Fever find themselves with the top pick in the draft. It was Aaliyah Boston from South Carolina last year and obviously Clark this year. How good could this team be next season?
I'm really intrigued by this team. And in the year before they got Boston, they had the number two pick and gotten Alyssa Smith. So it's been a team that's been out of the playoffs for a number of years now and as a result has gotten very high draft picks. And so they have built a relatively talented roster that just needed some time to come together. And one of the exciting things for them this year is that Caitlin fits the pieces that they have beautifully. You know, every year people are excited about the number one pick because that player is bringing a lot to a franchise. But Caitlin, not only, no matter who had the number one pick, she was going to be chosen, but she fits their pieces. Aaliyah Boston is an excellent player in the pick and roll. Well, we've seen that Caitlin is elite in that. Kelsey Mitchell, who was Indiana's leading scorer last year and an all-star, is an elite catch and shoot type of player. Well, she's going to get a lot of those playing alongside Caitlin. Melissa Smith, the player I mentioned, who was the number two pick a couple of years ago, is a great rim runner, and Caitlin Clark's going to be able to find her. So can we think that they're going to contend for a championship this year? No, I don't think that's fair, but certainly I will be surprised if they're not contending for the playoffs or solidified in the playoff picture, you know, late in the season.
Rebecca Lobo, ESPN basketball analyst with us. She and Ryan Rucco, Andrea Carter, Holly Rowe, all on site for the WNBA draft tonight. Who else in this draft, because it is a deep one, has you excited to see how their game's going to translate into the league?
Well, it's not even always just, you know, how high a player goes to the draft or the team that they go to. So L.A. has picks, both picks number two and four. And because L.A. needs pieces, both of those players are going to have a real opportunity to play minutes. And the assumption is that Cameron Brink from Stanford, the 6'4 forward, will go number two to L.A. And if she does, I think this is a young woman who has an opportunity to be an outstanding pro. Another player who's in the mix in that range is Rekia Jackson, the wing from Tennessee, who people are really excited about because of her athletic ability, the varied ways that she can score. And Camila Cardoso, the 6'7 post player from South Carolina that people have really been able to see what she can do over the course of South Carolina's run this year to the national championship. She is in that mix as well. So all of three of those players, well, including Caitlin, all four of those players are going to go to teams and situations where they should get ample opportunity to play, and they have games that can translate pretty quickly.
The WNBA, as you mentioned, there's a ton of stars already there. College basketball sending a ton of stars that are going to be coming up. It feels like the ability to build these stars in college over several years has been working quite nicely. What do you think's better for women's basketball long term, this current system or allowing players to possibly come out of college earlier?
I really like the system as it stands right now, which is players, you know, if they go to college in the U.S., they have to go with their their graduating class unless they turn 22 in the year of the draft. So sometimes we see a player who can come out after their third year, and that's because they turn 22 in the year of the draft. And I like it because the players are a little bit more ready. And remember, this is still a league that only has 12 teams. The players like to talk about, you know, it's a league of 144 players because roster sizes are capped at 12, but oftentimes because of salary cap, teams only keep 11 players. So it's not even 144 players. So tonight you will see some teams in the late first round who will draft an international player because they don't necessarily have room on their roster, and therefore it's a pick for the future. So, or you might see first round draft picks this year who do not make a roster because it is that hard to stick on a WNBA team. So my fear, if players started coming out a little bit earlier, would it help a player, you know, like would a player like Juju Watkins, who had an incredible freshman year this past season, would she be ready for the pros? Yes, but there would be a number of women who would cut their college career short who would then not stick on a WNBA roster, and I think that would be a sticky situation.
Rebecca Lobo with us. One last one for me, Rebecca, and just as someone that has been a huge part of the women's game for so long, I'm just wondering how gratifying a season like this was with everything we saw from the television ratings and the prospects of the continued growth of revenue and such in the league, what this year has meant to someone like you who has been around the league for so long.
You know, I'm thrilled, and I'm thrilled for these young women. I'm thrilled for the veterans in the league because hopefully this launches them into the place where they get some of the things that they have been wanting for years, whether that's higher salaries, whether that's the ability to fly chartered aircraft instead of commercially, which is how they fly now. And the timing couldn't be any better. You know, the TV deal, the WNBA's media rights deal is up next year in 2025. And there's reports, you know, that they have the early negotiation going on now with their current TV partners, including ESPN. But if the ratings continue the way we've seen in college, I mean, they're not going to compare to the college ratings, but the growth that we've seen and the eyes that Caitlin Clark in particular brings to the game and this rookie class will bring to the game, it could put the league in a position to get the kind of media rights deal that they need so that the players will have those salaries that they've been wanting and asking for, where they'll have the revenue to be able to fly chartered flights. So it's a really big and important time, and I'm excited for not only the young players coming into the league, but the veterans who have been there kind of paving this way and hopefully will now have an opportunity to benefit because of what these young players are bringing to the league.
Rebecca, awesome stuff. And if I can sum up for you, Albany, lighten up. Thanks.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Albany, I love you. I'll do that. Albany, I love you.
Rebecca Lobo, ESPN basketball analyst. It's she, Ryan Rucco, Andrea Carter, Holly Rowe tonight, all on site for the WNBA draft.
Extremely disrespectful to Handman, who's from Albany.
This is why I brought it up. And I know Handman still has some sore feelings over the whole thing.
Well, yeah, someone trashes the place that you're from repeatedly. Lobo went all in, too. And obviously, this is all tongue-in-cheek. We're just having fun here. Mm-hmm. But, hey, man, you sitting there for that, I'd have to imagine Carlin's mic volume moving forward might not be where it needs to be.
I've seen the discourse on Facebook, obviously, with a lot of people being around from Albany on my Facebook feed. So I've kind of been over this for, like, 2 weeks. And then Carlin brings it back up. And then yeah, feelings get re... Yeah. And then she's one button push away from me just getting in her ear being like,
wrap it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can be in the air. Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Throw her off her game. Let's see how. Then again, though, it's Lobo. Like, she knows how to operate in the clutch. So,
yeah.
Trying to rattle her, probably not going to work.
So I just sliced open that wound and poured a little salt into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I enjoy.
A lot of AAU tournaments. You know, she's been in Albany.
I got Albany's back.
You clearly haven't spent time there. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. In moments, we go to the NFL draft. We will get into it with our guy, Field Yates. Alert the Yaters on ESPN Radio, including on the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
Are you ready?
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit, Michigan.
The Detroit Lions select.
It all begins with round one, Thursday, April 25th.
The NFL Draft is now officially open.
The countdown rolls on. The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Alert the Yaters, Field Yates, once again. We could really call him the third host of this show with as much as he's been on lately. And I'd be comfortable with it, frankly, because he brings it. It's Carlin versus Joe.
A little too buttoned up for what we represent, but so be it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, literally, he's always buttoned up to the top. We don't button anything up.
Are you a button-up-to-the-top guy, Field Yates?
Well, I'm a statement button guy is actually what we call it. Is you go all the way to the top. It's a statement button. You know, people make statements.
It's a statement that you're
ways.
A dork. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's a statement.
Well, hey now. I don't know about the name calling.
Hey now. Wow. A minute ago, I'm the third host. Now I'm a dork. We've come a long way in about 15 seconds here. But, you know, everybody has ways they make statements. Fortenbaugh goes with a mustache and great pocket squares. I go with statement buttons. What can I say?
Yeah, that's well said. That's well said. Not a whole lot you can do there.
Thank you.
Carlin, what's your statement?
My statement is Fields a dork. That's my statement.
Thank you.
But as far as my statement of what I am, I think that speaks for itself. Field, it's great to talk to you. It always is. We should make it Carlin versus Joe versus Field. I would have no problem with that. I'm hearing a lot of this, and I'm fascinated by this, and I want to get your take on it. Joe and I had the discussion a few minutes ago. In getting ready for the draft, I talked to a lot of people. And there is a legitimate debate right now about where the Jets are better off going, whether it's Brock Bowers at 10 or a high-level tackle at 10, not with the idea of going for the short term versus the long term, but that the Jets have two 30-plus-year-old injury-prone tackles who they're relying upon. Maybe drafting a high-level tackle would have more of an impact on their season than drafting Brock Bowers. Your thoughts?
I agree with you. I for a while was on the draft Brock Bowers train because I thought it was how the Jets would approach it after signing or acquiring those two offensive tackles that you referenced there. But I'm starting to feel more and more like the Jets just have to take a shorter term lens than that as it pertains to the offensive line. Four plays last year. That's how long Aaron Rodgers left. And I get it. An Achilles tear is a freak injury. I'm not trying to suggest that that was something you could possibly have expected, regardless of what your feelings were on the Jets offensive line going into last season. I just think the possibility of something happening to one of your offensive linemen during the NFL season is so substantial that bypassing an offensive lineman leaves you in such a vulnerable spot. I have not yet pulled the number, but I think I need to before the draft next Thursday night. Which team had the fewest number of starting offensive line combinations here? Because I bet there were teams that trotted out like six or eight different combos. And I bet the average might have been closer to like four per team. That tells you that these offensive linemen are just so freaking valuable and so hard to replace. So I'm starting to lean more and more into the Jets taking an offensive tackle. And while there is a possibility to take in an offensive tackle might leave you with a first-round pick who basically redshirts, which would be the second straight year the Jets have done that after using their first-round pick last year on Will McDonald IV out of Iowa State. I still think it's good, sound business to protect yourself against the worst-case scenario that we saw four plays into last year during the Aaron Rodgers era.
Adam Schefter was on a Commanders podcast recently called Trapper Dive. And obviously, as a Commanders podcast, they spoke extensively on the number two overall pick and all the quarterbacks that are out there. And he's quoted as saying this, quote, "I think you can go ahead and get those Jaden Daniels jerseys," end quote. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't ever bet against Adam Schefter and his reporting. That's what I make of it, is that I am not a Commanders fan, but I do have several in my life. And if any of them have an upcoming birthday prior to the draft, I may take the liberty of buying them a Jaden Daniels jersey. And, you know, I think there's a really interesting dynamic in play in my role and the role of other draft analysts when you're trying to gather intel for the draft leading up to it from teams that, like, you're asking other teams about what they think teams will do. Because the reality is that while scouts and executives and coaches from different teams are closely observing all 32, no one really knows what's going inside the walls of somebody else's building. That's why you got to lean on people like Adam Schefter, because Schefter is the kind of person who has the tremendous influence and ability to lean on people at high levels who can help make him feel confident that this pick might end up being Jaden Daniels, so much so that he would sort of put his neck out there on the line by saying so on a Commanders podcast. So right now I'm feeling like the first two picks in the draft, especially the first pick, are borderline set in stone. Things could change over the next 10 days, but I am certainly expecting it to be Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels 1 and 2.
Field Yates getting it done as he always does, brought to you by Granger. He is the ESPN draft analyst and insider. The odds have moved on Bo Nix now to not being a first-round pick. Do you think he will go in the first 32?
Yeah, I think here's where I've landed. Is I think if you guys, and you guys are obviously, it's actually unfair. Your combination of handsome and gambling aptitude is just, it's sports betting is just, I mean, the way you guys bring everything to the table. It's just
I feel like you're just talking about one of us.
Yep,
right,
feels
now.
Like you're only talking about half the show. I can dig it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yes. I mean, Joe has other things that he's good at as well, but
but handsome,
know,
in sports so betting. Well, handsome in sports betting works, Fields.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. I was. Right. That was a Carlin comment. But anyways, I digress.
No. No, it wasn't.
So yeah. So what's the line? What's the line right now for number of quarterbacks?
All right. So
4.5 is it? 5.
So here's where it's interesting. Here's where it's interesting. The over under is still 4.5, and if you play the under, it's plus money. It's plus 145. So you risk 100, you win $145, which makes it the underdog. But if you look at the draft position props, Bo Nix's over-under is 32.5. Michael Penix's is 32.5. And both of them are heavily juiced to the over, meaning they are favorites to not go in the first round. So you have their over-under props as favorites for them to not be first-round picks, but over 4.5 quarterbacks is the favorite. It's a market inefficiency, so to speak.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm not an econ guy, but I will say this. I do believe that one of those two at least goes in the first round.
Oh,
and
wow.
While
okay.
I had been for a while thinking that Bo Nix would be the one of those two, I'm starting to rethink my calculations on that one. I think it may end up being Michael Penix Jr. that is the one of those two that ends up going in the first round. So I think that Penix could have, you know, it just takes one, obviously, to take either of them in the first round. I think Penix ends up finding his way into the first round. And what we always talk about, and it's unpredictable, and I'm not trying to sound cliche, but as we know, like, at the end of the first round, there is often teams at the top of the second that are poking around because of the fact that if you take a player in the first round, you have the ability to add a fifth-year option, or you have a fifth-year option built into his contract. And as a result of that, if you have a good quarterback, it ends up being a very, very valuable year to work. So my end result is that I think 5 at minimum go in the first round. But if I had to pick just one of those two to be the fifth right now, and this is, what, April 15th, that would be, gosh, I wish it were April 25th. April 15th, my answer would be, My answer would be Michael Penix Jr. over Bo Nix.
Yep. Happy tax day, everybody.
Great job, Fields. What? We appreciate it. You forgot about your taxes?
Today's tax day.
Holy crap. I mean, can I borrow some money then, Joe, so I can get mine done?
What, you think I got money?
Joe had a bit of a rough weekend at UFC 300.
Not true. Chased effectively late. Made reckless bets late. Chased it all back. Do not listen to what he said. I had to be irresponsible, but we got the job done.
See? Irresponsibility pays.
Noted.
No, that is not an endorsement for that type of behavior. We'll be very clear about that.
Field, great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL Draft Analyst, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It has just simply become a foregone conclusion. That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
MLB Old Faces and New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Juan Soto, New York Yankees.
The New York Yankees made a massive splash when they acquired 25-year-old Juan Soto from the Padres in December. Soto's been a superstar since his career began at 19 with the Washington Nationals. He won a World Series with Washington in just his second season in the big leagues and won the NL batting title in his third year. Now, just a year from free agency, Soto will build a case to be one of the highest-paid players in history in its biggest market. Soto hit 35 home runs last season in San Diego, bringing a desperately needed left-handed bat to pair with righties Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. Despite not having to trade any of their elite prospects to the Padres in the deal, the move comes with risk for New York. Soto is a below-average defender in the outfield, and he's the ultimate rental. Already telling reporters he won't sign an extension and plans to hit the open market after 1 year in New York. Now the Yankees have one season to sell Soto on playing in pinstripes long term and hope he can deliver World Series number 28 in the process.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
You know, Justin, this is as an aside. How about our Oakland Athletics?
They look good. They look good. Not going to promote them for the World Series or anything like that, but I think we're 7-9, six runs in the bottom of like the sixth yesterday to come back and win. When they start, they were like 1-5 or something. They're 7-9 now. They're hot.
Yeah, they are red hot. We are going to have this over 57.5 locked up by July 4th.
Okay, let's
Big fella's going to be out
take
there.
Take it easy.
You know what? Getting a little extra on the hot dogs. Let's go. We'll 51. Get the high quality Kobe beef dogs.
Magic number's 51. Got to win 51 more games here.
They are
took
rolling.
Two out of three from the Rangers. I know it's your team. I'm not trying to put salt in the wound.
Oh, listen, it's early in the season, and this is a house money year for me. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's fine. I can deal with that.
Like, I don't want to bring that up and like try to make you feel bad. It's just I do want to highlight the fact that they beat some good teams.
Yes. Year after a championship, my team gets a pass.
Okay.
They always do.
Okay.
They always do.
So in Texas versus Oakland games this year, because of the bet, are you rooting for Oakland?
I wouldn't say that I'm rooting for Oakland, but I'm not broken up with a loss.
Okay, fair.
Put it that way.
Okay.
If they can do their part to help me out financially, it's not going to be an argument there. Hey, Carlin versus Joe is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can help protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. And if something wasn't mentioned that you had in mind, find out if it can be covered at Progressive.com. Or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, because it probably can be. For those who didn't know, we, at the beginning of the year, collectively as a show, as a family, took the Oakland A's over 57.5 wins on the season. I do get the impression that perhaps the bookmakers have not adjusted drastically based on this recent Oakland hot streak. Is that fair to say?
There's been an adjustment. I wouldn't say the bookmakers are suddenly looking at the A's as title contenders, but we bet over 57.5 wins. They're 7-9 through their first 16 games. The adjusted win total is now 59.5. It's two games north of where we bet it. So
we're not into the 70s.
I'll take it. A little bit of respect, a modicum of respect. Now, we're on trajectory for about 72 wins now, which is nice. I like the trajectory. I don't care what the bookmakers say at this point. Our battle with the bookmakers is over. We bought our ticket. We're all just playing it out now. Our battle is with every other team the A's are going to face. We don't need them to look good. We just need to avoid like 15-game losing streaks, which are definitely still on the table.
Now, Joe, I don't know how much of it you caught yesterday, but Scottie Scheffler at the Masters was exactly what he needed to be. He wasn't even on his best on Sunday at the Masters, yet there was never a true threat to him winning this tournament. Every time that he might have put himself in a little bit of danger and maybe the door was cracking open just a bit, he slammed it shut with big shot after big shot. What comes to mind, you know, even when I think the horse was probably out of the barn, but the idea maybe it'll open it up, hits it into the sand on 15, ends up parring that hole. Next hole comes out 16, the par 3, hits it to 6 feet, birdies. Scottie Scheffler is just becoming, well, and I'm sorry to call him this, but it's true, a boring inevitable right now on the tour.
Well, to answer your original question, no, I didn't watch anything. I was doing some travel coming back yesterday,
right.
But more importantly, I didn't even care to keep updated with it. And I love golf,
yep.
But you know, he took the lead and it wasn't very competitive. All we ever hear about is that the Masters starts on the back nine on Sunday. That didn't really seem to be true at all this year. It wasn't interesting. It wasn't competitive. I don't find him to be particularly captivating, and I know that that sounds as a knock. By all accounts, he's a very good human being, good person, set to become a father here, great golfer, hard worker, model citizen, all that stuff. I just, you know, it's not necessarily captivating television for me. And he's blowing away the field, and he's phenomenal in what he's doing. The Tiger comparisons are apt because he's absolutely destroying everybody, and he seems so calm on the big stage. There's a lot to admire there. I'm just, strictly speaking, from a fan entertainment standpoint, I don't find it to be entertaining, and I couldn't really have cared less as to what was going on there yesterday. Normally, I'm fully locked into an event like that. I'm not blaming him. It's just no one really threatened him. It wasn't really a guy's going shot for shot. And, you know, it's just, whatever.
I
got other things I can do.
I was in check-in mode, checked in and out. You know, as I'm watching a lot of it, got there early, was in early, but then just the rest of the day kind of in and out. Evan is a diehard golf fan. Were you locked in on all of it?
Yeah, I was, but I'm locked in no matter what's going on. A guy could have a 6-shot lead, and I'm locked in. I love the Honda, let alone the
Masters.
Yeah.
Can I ask why? Why is that?
I just love it. I love watching, as someone who plays golf almost every weekend and isn't very good, I am amazed at what these guys are able to do with a golf club and a golf ball. I mean, I'm just going to use one example of Scottie Scheffler yesterday. On the ninth hole, he put it 10 feet past the hole, brought it back, and it almost went in on for an eagle. That was amazing to watch as everybody else is spraying it all over that green.
Yeah. That's a good point. It's a fair point. I can understand that completely. I'm not trying to rail against him or the tour or anything like that. This isn't some big ceremonial take or anything. I'm just, it doesn't interest me. He was blowing them away. I don't find him to be particularly interesting. I don't find the lack of competition to be interesting. I wasn't interested.
You know what is interesting? He's about to have a kid, yet in the remaining majors this year, he's the favorite in all of them right now.
As he should be. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's a 12-1 favorite. He's crushing people right now.
Yep. Like we said the other day, he was plus 450 to win the Masters, and it has become Scottie Scheffler against the field right now. And I don't know that it helps golf.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.
When Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.